Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins, he's going to go all the way.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw quarter route to the right.
I think, yeah, touchdown.
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How is everybody doing this very fine Sunday? Thrilled to be broadcasting from our Clemson, South Carolina affiliate, 105.5 The Roar, which has for years carried the DA show, which is really cool. I got my first chance to see Death Valley yesterday in the butt-kicking, the butt-whooping of Florida State. It lives up to the hype, watching the Tigers run down the hill, touch Howard's Rock. The 25 most exciting seconds in college football definitely lived up to it, and Clemson lived up to its end of the bargain as well. FSU did not, but rarely do they with Willie Taggart at the helm, and they haven't for a number of years. Think about this. This game that we watched yesterday between Florida State and Clemson was always the de facto ACC championship game. Winner of that game was going to win their side of the ACC and then run roughshod over whoever they face in the ACC championship. No longer the case. When you think about the ACC, that conference should just basically beg at the altar of Clemson and thank them for being who they are. Because with Florida State so down, with Miami being a dumpster fire, with Virginia Tech in major problems, Clemson is the only reason to think big in that conference. But they rebounded well after slipping by North Carolina, dropping out of that number one slot of the country. And I think there was a real focus on, let's not only win, let's send a message nationally that we still are the defending national champions and don't sleep on us. Because of the way that they coached, the way that they played called early in that game, I think they wanted to put it out of reach quickly, early, and not let FSU up off the mat, and they did exactly that. But it is time right now to slip into three other major stories from yesterday's college football action and today's NFL slate. We are coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down three enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. You're kind of headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
The Red River Showdown, the Big 12 in general, has always been defined, at least for a long time, offense. A lot of points, a lot of yards. And it's not that yesterday Oklahoma and Texas didn't put up a lot of points. Final score, the Sooners, 34, the Longhorns, 27. But 34-27 might as well be 9-6 in the Big 12. And for OU to be able to hold Sam Ellinger, the quarterback of Texas, for just 210 yards passing and hold him out of the end zone throwing touchdowns and to hold the UT rushing attack to really just one guy and really hold the entire team under 100 yards when they ripped off a 57-yarder That was one of OU's best defensive efforts in years. And we know that with Jalen Hurts, they can put up yards, put up points. Lincoln Riley has proven this the last couple of years. Insert quarterback win Heisman. But yesterday, actually, was about the Sooners' defense. Here's Gus Johnson on Fox Sports.
Gallagher fires it out wide. Duvernay. And Duvernay chopped down. Great open field tackle. Empty backfield for Ellinger. Sam, under pressure. Ellinger sacked. Ellinger, quarterback, draw and nothing. Oh, you ready? Ellinger. And Ellinger will be sacked by Pat Fields out of nowhere.
Defensively, just was awesome. We tackled well. I covered them well. And then obviously, you know, we were able to get quite a bit of pressure on the quarterback, which was probably the key to the game.
The pressure that they were able to apply all Dan Ellinger really defined that game. And I think for Oklahoma, look, we don't take the Big 12 very seriously because they don't play much defense. And we know if you get to a college football playoff, you're going to have to play at least a little bit of defense, and you'll go up against teams that do play some defense, and we haven't really taken that very seriously. But if OU is able to add even a reasonable defense and not get shredded and not have to win games 52-48, well, then they can push themselves into the conversation of, yes, taking them seriously when it matters. But let's also take a moment and identify what Lincoln Riley has done. Riley took over for a living legend in Bob Stoops, who had won a national championship, and took over for a guy that was always winning the Big 12 and has never missed a beat. And in fact, OU might be better after Stoops left. In fact, I don't even think that's an argument. I think that Lincoln Riley has elevated where Oklahoma is. And as a young coach, a first-time head coach, that's supremely impressive. And this was a lot like what we saw from Penn State yesterday as well. Another good win between ranked teams. This one was on the road for Penn State at Iowa. And they really slowed down the game. Penn State wants to put up more yards and points than we saw yesterday. They come into the game averaging nearly 500 yards. But yesterday didn't need it because Penn State's defense showed up and really locked down the Iowa Hawkeyes. Really good win by Penn State. And yesterday, a little bit of a similarity with Oklahoma and Penn State. Rivalry conference games with two explosive offenses, but their defenses were truly the story yesterday for those two wins. The story yesterday in the SEC was Georgia. What a disaster. Georgia losing to South Carolina at home at Sanford Stadium. You know, Kirby Smart's been dominant against the SEC East, and here Jake Fromm was awful all day, and they just couldn't get anything going offensively. Here's Todd Ellis on Learfield IMG.
Second down and four upcoming. 118, 117.
Just keep them in front of us.
Georgia almost to midfield at their own 47. Fromm again working in the pocket. He's under pressure. He's got to throw it late into coverage and picked off. Mukwamu down the near sideline at the 30, at the 20. Run, Mukwamu. Touchdown, Carolina.
Take that, Georgia.
When you play in the SEC, guys, every week you've got to be at your best because every team is 100% capable of out-physicaling you and out-playing you. And today they played better than we did, and we didn't do a good enough job as coaches to help them out. Credit goes to them.
That's a very worrisome loss for Kirby Smart in Georgia, and it's worrisome because Georgia has recruited so well under Kirby that they have such dominant talent that even when they don't play their best football, they can get by with the talent disparity, especially against a program like South Carolina. And yet yesterday they did not. The offensive line for Georgia did not play well. South Carolina consistently made Jake Fromm make bad decisions. Fromm threw bad passes. You just heard one there. And just everything yesterday was very clunky for Georgia, and that should be a wake-up call. Because if the Bulldogs are the equal to Alabama and LSU in the East, then yesterday can't really happen. That really can't happen. Now, the good news is Georgia still has its future laid out in front of them. They control it. If they win out, they're going to go to the SEC title game, and then they have their future right there. If they beat LSU, Alabama, Auburn, whoever comes out of the West, then they'll go to the college football playoff with a one loss. But look, that's not even a conversation if you play like you did yesterday. By the way, this was the perfect game to watch here at Clemson because we are
tailgating before yesterday's Clemson Florida State game, watching this one, and you could not find two more hated opponents playing one another in Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, they hate the Gamecocks. They really hate the Gamecocks, and they really hate the Bulldogs. And so I think the quote was, can they both lose today? Is it possible? Can we just call this a double loss? Unfortunately, that's not how it works. Georgia, though, does take the L. And in the NFL today, you're going to see Kirk Cousins take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Shockingly, Kirk Cousins, who is always awful against teams with winning records, has a winning record against the Philadelphia Eagles, but that's largely because he swept four games when he was in the division when the Eagles were a sub-500 team. So today, it's way different. The Vikings, they need a better Kirk Cousins. Let's face it, last week he was better, but they need a much better Cousins if they're going to get to a Super Bowl, which is the ultimate destination for the Minnesota Vikings. And one of the members of the Eagles formerly was a teammate of Kirk Cousins. That was Zach Brown, the linebacker, not the Zach Brown band, the linebacker. And this week, he said some not so complimentary things about his former quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Here is Zach Brown.
I think every defense is going to want that guy to throw the ball. For me, that's entirely the reason why their offense is here. I think it's good. Got me back up on the game, probably one of the best in the league. He just got real good receivers. Just wanted to pass the ball. He wanted Kirk Cousins to get in.
You
wanted
to
throw the ball.
Yeah. He's got a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that I realized when I was at Washington.
Right.
He's kind of careless with the ball, but at the same time, hey, you make the bad shoot.
So let me just translate some of that stuff because the audio was maybe a little garbled for some of you. Cousins' quote is what Zach Brown said. Cousins, I think every defense is going to want that guy to throw the ball. For me, that's the weakest part of their offense is him. Everything else is good. They've got a good running game, probably one of the best of the league. Real good receivers. You just want them to pass. You want Kirk Cousins to get it in his hands. He said, when I was in Washington, he was careless with the ball. But at the same time, hey, you make the bed you sleep in. And that's pretty much a shot at his three-year, $84 million guaranteed. And I think that there's some resentment around the league that Kirk Cousins got paid despite being an average quarterback. Now, though, when you hear something like that, let me tell you, Zach Brown just said what most people around the league are thinking. That the Vikings are really good and their weakness is their quarterback. And I always say this, I think Kirk Cousins is a great guy, but not a great quarterback. I would definitely trust him watching my goldfish if I was out of town. I would definitely trust him to go through my taxes and tell me, you know, as an accountant, what I need to do. I would definitely trust him in a lot of, you know, around the house work, but I would not trust him to lead my team to a Super Bowl. He doesn't have that, and I think that team knows it and is trying to work their way through it, but I don't think that this leopard changes its spots. And when you hear a former teammate call out Cousins like that, that's what is being said behind the scenes. Dude, can you believe this guy got that much money? Can you believe how average this guy is? Let's go out there and kick his tail. And I think teams have largely done that. And when he's apologizing to his wide receivers publicly, I mean, geez, you know that you are struggling for credibility inside your own locker room. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can get at me, DA on CBS. Straight ahead, let's look at today's NFL lines from a Vegas perspective. Let's look at today's game from a sharp's eye. Our Vegas virtuoso from Sportsline, Kenny White, is going to join us coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bet.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Damon Amendolara, DA with you. And joining us is the Wizard of Odds from Sportsline, Kenny White. Kenny, good morning. How are we doing?
Damon, I'm doing great. Looking forward to another great day of NFL football. So much fun to watch these games.
Yeah, let's start with the early games and Seahawks and Browns. Seattle is in Cleveland. Cleveland just came off getting demolished by the 49ers on Monday night. And the Seahawks are a slight favorite on the road in this game, just giving a point in this one. How do you see a Browns team that's been so up and down this year? How do you try to figure what they're going to be week in, week out?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of guessing because we know they are inconsistent, and that's because of that offensive line, and I rated the offensive line for the Browns 28th in the NFL coming into the season. Most of these teams will make improvements as the year goes. The offensive line usually gets better at home, though, and that's why I think Cleveland will benefit here. They were horrible in San Francisco. When you're on the road, the crowd noise kind of affects that offensive line. They'll be a step quicker today. Hopefully Seattle may be a little full of themselves now at 4-1 and coming off that win against the Rams. The line is, the money's coming in towards Cleveland. I see Cleveland a one-point favorite at some big shops here in Nevada.
Texans and Chiefs in Kansas City. The Chiefs are a four-point favorite right now. How do you think Patrick Mahomes on a gimpy ankle affects today's line?
Tremendously. When you start to look at his mobility, and if he's not able to move around like he normally can and make the throws he makes on the run, any player that's not going to be, you know, up to the talent level they're normally used to playing is going to be affected. But a quarterback like Mahomes, he's going to be affected more. We saw that last week. Houston's got an outstanding pass rush. But more importantly, Houston's got a great quarterback themselves. And Deshaun Watson, he could put points on the board, 11 touchdowns, just one INT. This game is one of three that has one of the biggest differentials in strength of schedule so far. Houston has played the eighth toughest schedule to start the season, where Kansas City's played the 26th toughest schedule, basically the sixth easiest schedule. I expect Houston to be in the game. The bookies think the Kansas City Chiefs probably for the first time all year.
Kenny White joins us from Sportsline. Saints and Jaguars. We know no Drew Brees for the New Orleans Saints. But this one's interesting. The line has moved. The Saints were kind of a one-point favorite, and now it looks like the Jaguars are up to a three-point favorite versus being a one-point favorite or so at first. What are we seeing from the Jaguars, even though without Drew Brees, I mean, the Saints have been pretty good even with Teddy Bridgewater?
They really have. That just shows, you know, Sean Payton and what a job he's done with this team. Defensively, they're outstanding. And then when you got a running back like Alvin Kamara, I say he's the best running back in the NFL because he does so many things. He's just so dangerous. I mean, to line up at three or four different positions on the field, trying to keep track of him is awfully difficult. Gardner Minshew's getting a lot of love, and I think that's why the line has gone to Jacksonville. Also looking, this is kind of a must win for them right now. It's just 2-3. Where the Saints at 4-1, as you said, you know, it's like they haven't missed Drew Brees whatsoever because Teddy Bridgewater has done a nice job. His mobility's back. He's moving around in the pocket, and he's throwing the ball very nicely. This is a tough one. I think there's so much. I can't bet on a team that there's disarray. And with Jalen Ramsey, there's disarray. I just don't trust the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't trust a rookie quarterback. As other teams and opponents start to get more film on him, they're going to start to dissect what he does, throw him some different looks, and maybe upset the apple cart there. So I would look to the Saints today, plus the three.
You know, the Eagles are very banged up, but they're still a good team. And Kirk Cousins is still a bad quarterback against good teams. And yet today, the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite over Philadelphia. Does that give you pause, worried to be putting any money on Kirk Cousins against a winning team?
Yeah, I hate to lay 3.5 with that key number being 3. You know, 11% of all games that end in regulation land 3. And if it goes to overtime, it's got a 17% chance to land 3. So if you like the Vikings and your guy tells you the line's 3.5, I suggest betting the money line. Philadelphia, yeah, they're banged up. And they've played the second easiest schedule so far. And just 3-2 from that easy schedule. Carson Wentz does not look like the guy we thought he was going to be, that MVP quarterback. So maybe it's going to take him a little while longer. Get back to that game speed, but he's also missing DeSean Jackson. If they don't have him to open the field up, they just haven't been the same team. Their defense was great against the Jets, but against everybody else, it's allowed a lot of yards. And I expect that today. Dalvin Cook has been outstanding. he might be the second best running back in the NFL right now because he's got those young, fresh legs, and he's really benefited the Minnesota Vikings offense. I like the Vikings at -3. I would, as I said, though, I will not lay 3.5. I'd rather lay the money line.
Kenny White, the Wizard of Odds from Sportsline, joins us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Tonight, Steelers and Chargers from L.A. The Steelers are down to their third-string quarterback. Mason Rudolph's going to miss this game. So it makes the Chargers a 6-point favorite. Just how bad do you think that Steelers offense is going to be traveling across the country and playing on the road with a third-string QB?
Yeah, it's going to be away from home, but it will be a home game. There'll be 80% Steeler fans in the crowd. You know, the Chargers just have no home field. They play 8 road games and 8 neutral games, basically. That's tough on them. Last year, they were great on the road, horrible at home. The same thing kind of extended this year. They've been banged up, and they're one of the most beat-up teams that there is in the NFL. They've played the third easiest schedule, and they're just 2-3 so far. I expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to really try to run the football with James Conner. They have to protect Devlin Hodges. Obviously, it's a big drop-off, and it'll be even a bigger drop-off without Hodges. So I think this is a low-scoring game. That's the professionals agree with me. The total opened 43.5. It is down to 41.5 at some key places here in Nevada. And I think it's going to be a close game just because the Chargers, without the home field, you almost got to give points home field advantage and points to Pittsburgh, because home field advantage is basically the crowd and how loud they can be to affect the offensive line, but also affect the officials and who they throw flags against. And I think there'll be more flags thrown against the Chargers today than there will be the Steelers. So they'll benefit in that regard. I think this is a correlated parlay, though. If you like the Steelers, take the points and parlay it to the under.
Yep, going to be a lot of black and gold in the stands in Los Angeles tonight. Is there a number that you saw out there that you like that we did not touch on, something that you circled that you have as a favorite number today?
The best play I had, and we didn't touch on the game, and maybe the best game of the day, is the Rams and the 49ers. I do like the Rams -3. You know, it's always, we talk about the stock market, buy low and sell high. Well, if you're ever going to buy low in the Rams, it would be today. -3 at home, they'll never be this low again unless they were facing the Patriots. That'd be the only team they could be lower against. 49ers have been very impressive up to a 4-0 start. But they played the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. This is the best team they've played by far. Something to prove for the Rams, knowing they're looking up at the 49ers in the standings right now. I think it'll be Jared Goff's best effort. I don't mind Gurley being out. He really hasn't produced much. Malcolm Brown is just as good as Gurley right now. And with all of Goff's weapons back, I think he beats the 49ers today. Should be an outstanding Rams effort. Love Sean McVay. I think the team will come to play.
Kenny White joining us from Sportsline. Go to sportsline.com for information, analysis, as you get ready for today's NFL action from a Vegas perspective. Kenny, great stuff, man. Let's do this again sometime later on in the football season.
It's been my pleasure. I'm available all Sunday, sitting here in front of the screen looking at the market all day.
I love it. Great stuff. Kenny White joining us from Sportsline, the Wizard of Odds. Awesome. He was a great guy. So we'll have him back on the show then. Absolutely, here on Sunday Morning Football, as we always do, a Vegas Virtuoso Insider to look at the NFL lines of the day. When we come back, in Washington, they're trying to get their first win of the season, and they'll be in Miami today to try to do that. So can Washington finally get a W with an interim head coach with Bill Callahan? Let's also ask the question, can they fix it if the owner doesn't change? We'll hear from one of the greats in their franchise's history on that coming up here next. And one New York Jets player talks to me about whether Adam Gase is in over his head as head coach of the Jets. That's all coming up here next. DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football, broadcasting live from 105.5 The Roar, our affiliate, wonderful affiliate in Clemson, South Carolina this morning.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's helpful.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
And our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO, 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. In Washington, a new head coach, Bill Callahan, is the interim after they fired Jay Gruden last weekend, which is understandable. I mean, Jay Gruden was winless, and Gruden had seemingly stagnated. This team wasn't getting any better. Clearly, his message wasn't getting through. I've got no problem firing Jay Gruden last week. But number one, they basically make a performance art out of it by calling him into their office at 5 a.m. Okay, what's the reason there? But to be dramatic, and I say they because Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen are attached to the hip. I mean, Bruce Allen is a career survivalist that is basically essentially made his best friend Dan Snyder so that he can't get fired, and Dan Snyder's falling for it hook, line, and sinker. But does anything change with Washington if the head coach changes? Here is a guy that won a Super Bowl with Washington, part of the Hogs in 1991, went on to win two more Super Bowls for a functional organization, the Denver Broncos. Here is Mark Schlereth.
It's pretty simple. I mean, he's the one constant in that situation. I mean, go back to Mike Shanahan's staff of 2013. You know, they had Sean McVay on that staff. They had Kyle Shanahan on that staff. They had Matt LaFleur on that staff. I think Matt LaFleur is 4-1 right now. I think Sean McVay's 3-2, and Kyle Shanahan's 5-0 right now in the league. And you can't find a coach. You can't figure it out. My friend Jerome Bettis used to say all the time, if everywhere you go it smells like crap, it just might be you. Well, that might be the owner.
How good is that quote from Mark Schlereth? How good is that quote from Jerome Bettis? I think everybody listening today can now use that quote at some point in time. And you know the person that you're thinking of that directly has that quote that you think in your mind, oh yeah, I would attach it to that person. But look, the problem is that Dan Snyder has been vindictive. He has been a bully. He's been impatient, and he has surrounded himself by the wrong people. And people say, oh, Dan Snyder wants to hear the truth. No, he doesn't, or else Bruce Allen wouldn't be his president. That's pretty clear, because things are wrong there, and they're always wrong. And anybody that covered that organization knows how wrong they are. The Jets were supposed to be right this year, but they don't have a win yet. Now, maybe you could point to Sam Darnold as the biggest reason, but even without Darnold, the other players like Le'Veon Bell signed for a big contract have been completely unproductive, and the Jets have looked like pretty much a mess. I had their Pro Bowl safety, Jamal Adams, join me on the show earlier this week, and I asked, is this an Adam Gase problem?
I'm frustrated with losing. I'm not, you know, it's no one in particular. I'm just frustrated losing, man. But, you know, like I said, man, we just got to, you know, remain focused, stay at it, put our head down and grind. That's all we can do.
How's Adam Gase as a head coach?
He's a great head coach, you know what I mean? Full of energy, is a hell of a competitor, and a guy that wants to win ball games.
Because he's known as a guy that stays up all night looking at film. He's a guy that's kind of restless in his own right, always trying to tinker, always trying to create ideas. And I can tell he's obviously very frustrated because the offense has not gotten it done. So I'm wondering if maybe you guys relate to one another in that way.
You know, yeah, he's a football junkie, of course. And, you know, obviously he's frustrated just as well as everybody is. You know, we haven't won a game. So, I mean, it's really not rocket science, man, with it. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. We're all frustrated. We're all pissed off. But at the same time, we got to, you know, remain focused, keep our same focus, and continue to work hard.
There's no excuse at this point in time for the Jets offense any longer to be this bad. I mean, now that you have Darnold back, there is no excuse. So Adam Gase now has a starting quarterback. He has his multi-million dollar running back. And he has, in some ways, a bit of a clean slate now because of the first month, the nightmare is over. But the schedule does not do him any favors. Today, they're going to be at home against the Cowboys. Next week, they've got the Patriots. After that, the Jaguars. All three of those teams with playoff designs. So let's see what Gase has. But the early returns on the Jets is that Gase probably shouldn't have been hired. And his underwhelming stint in Miami, most Dolphins fans said, he's going to get another job? Okay, have at him. And for Gase, I know that he's frustrated. He says it all the time, but that doesn't really matter if you can't fix it. And if he's supposed to be an offensive guy, where is the fixing happening? Finally, at Penn State, there was an extremely racist letter sent to one of the players about his dreadlocks, saying that he needs to cut them off. It doesn't look good. He doesn't look professional. And that the fan that had sent them this letter wants a clean-cut team and doesn't want them looking like Miami or Florida State. Insert racial stereotype here. But James Franklin came out and said, well, the player in question is actually one of our best students, that he's an honor roll, Dean's List guy. So, again, the old story is, you know, don't judge a cover, don't judge a book by its cover. But should James Franklin even have had to do that? Here is CBS Sports Network's Corey Chavis.
I don't know that you should even have to defend that if you're James Franklin. And I'm pretty close to the Penn State program, and I appreciate the comments that he made. You know, I visit there all the time, but I think that, you know, he was defending the kids unnecessarily in this situation simply because at the end of the day, like, you know, that's the type of kids James Franklin recruits. And I think that there's a certain expectation you should have as a coach. You know, I think, you know, when you make a statement like that, you're talking about the program in a sense, particularly if you're an alum. So really it just comes down to believing in the people that are in place, believing in who they're recruiting, believing in their character, believing in their parents, believing in who you're trying to build as a football team and what they're trying to build. And from my experience around the Penn State program, I think they have a lot of very good student athletes, and a lot of those guys have represented the school very well. So I don't think it's as much about the fans as much as it is the fans getting the knowledge of learning, you know, it's particularly if you're an alum, okay, this is who they're recruiting on a consistent basis. And maybe that's what James was trying to do, was trying to expose that fan to the types of guys that they're recruiting.
Jonathan Sutherland is the player in question. And, yeah, he does have dreads. And he's really good at football and really good in the classroom. So the moral of the story is don't assume you know anything about that player based on how long his hair is or based on if he has tattoos or not. And don't make a judgment about a human being or a player based on their haircut or their clothes or their fashion choices. The moral of the story here is that Sutherland is a player that every fan should want to root for because he's not only a great player, but also a great student and team leader. Finally, let's get to your football forecast this morning.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
In Cleveland today, temperatures in the mid-60s with a 99% chance you have no idea what to expect from the Cleveland Browns. One week they put up 40 points against the Baltimore Ravens. The next week, they look like dirt against the 49ers. And I just don't think we're ever going to see a consistent Cleveland Browns team this year. I think that the challenge has always been that somehow Freddie Kitchens was not only going to remain a great play caller offensively, but then also develop into an effective head coach with a young quarterback and an emotional wide receiver. Oh, on top of it, huge expectations in a football-mad town that hasn't had something to root for in 30 years. You think that's a lot? I always thought it was a mistake that this organization, if they wanted to get to the next level, putting a rookie coach in there that had never done it before. To me, that was always a misfire because there's just too much swirling, and then you throw Odell's attitude and Baker Mayfield's attitude and all of that into this, that Freddie Kitchens wasn't ready for this job. Miami. Temperatures in the 80s. It's sunny in South Florida with a 75% chance Bill Callahan actually looks smart. You see the story this week? Callahan took over the team and said his first practice, they cut out the music, they brought in refs, and they ran conditioning drills. If Jay Gruden didn't have this team conditioned in mid-October and they needed to bring in refs to actually establish the rules of football, and they've got music playing in the middle of a winless campaign, then Jay Gruden sounds like he emotionally and mentally checked out anyway. You get an easy, get-healthy game today in Miami, taking on the winless, putrid, awful Dolphins. So Washington might just get a win. They're actually favored by 5 points. They'll never be favored by 5 points, perhaps ever again. I mean, in the history of the world. So you got to get a win today, and maybe Bill Callahan actually looks smart in doing so. And in Arizona, the roof is closed, but with the Cardinals, there's a 95% chance that they hand Dan Quinn his last meaningful football game, because Quinn's already on the hot seat. In fact, it's flaming under him. I mean, he's like that dog meme where the dog's sipping the coffee in the middle of hellfire, because Dan Quinn's Falcons are 1-4 and they're traveling to Arizona. And even if they win this game, I think their season is toast. But if they lose this game, forget it. I would have left Dan Quinn in Houston last week. I mean, they gave up 55 freaking points to the Texans. I love Deshaun Watson, but 55 points, that's Dan Quinn's defense. Since 28-3 in the Super Bowl, this has been a steady decline by the Falcons. And that is one of the most talented teams in the country, in the NFL. The fact that they've got no season left and it's not even Halloween yet is on Dan Quinn. I'm going to put it on Matt Ryan as well, but let's start with Dan Quinn. Get him out. That's your football forecast. We are down at 105.5 The Roar in Clemson, and I just want to say that for everybody that has listened to the DA show down here, one of our wonderful affiliates over the years, and has come out and said hello, it has meant the world. I mean, I was walking through the Clemson parking lots and tailgate areas, and people were saying hello that I'd never met before. I mean, yesterday, Todaro Pizza, which is right on Main Street in Clemson, right off campus, had a sign out that said, "The mothership has landed. Todaro Pizza welcomes DA to Clemson. Beam me up." And I just thought this was so cool. Got to meet the guys over there. Greg over at Todaro Pizza is a huge listener. He even hooked me up, if you're watching, to watchda.com with this awesome Todaro Pizza t-shirt. And the pizza was phenomenal, especially after a long day of a few adult beverages and watching college football. It was perfect last night. But there's been so many stories like that that people have just said, you know, "Hi, I used to listen to the show," or "I still listen to the show," or "It's great to see you down here." And it just means the world. It's been such a wonderful trip, and everybody's been so kind and nice and warm and friendly that it really, really, truly means the world to me that everybody has been so cool around here. So it's lived up to the hype, and I'm excited to put together a little Nomad episode this week. So if you want to check out this trip, my travel series available on YouTube called Nomad is going to be out. I'll put together the footage and edit it this week and make sure it's published, because last year, got to do it with our trip to Boise State. That was awesome. And I've done this a couple of times and put it on Nomad. We went to Athens, Georgia, went to Auburn, got to go to Ole Miss. So I've had some really amazing college football experiences as part of this travel series, and this will be the next one. So subscribe when you go there to my YouTube channel and check out my trip to Clemson this year as part of my travel series, Nomad, on YouTube. This show, when we're on remote, is not an easy show to do, so I want to thank all the guys back in Mission Control for doing such an awesome job. Tom DiBenedetto is the executive producer. There's a lot of moving parts when I'm on remote. Great job today. Dave Shepard, Shep, also awesome on the wheels of steel, on the board. Luke Diamond at WatchDA.com of the simulcast, doing great stuff as always. So just want to thank those guys for doing such an awesome job. And the family here at 105.5 The Roar has treated me like family, and that has been just awesome. So thanks to everybody here for making me feel like home. And this is a great place to have done the show, and I'm really happy that we were able to work it out and come down here for the game. Once again, thanks to the guys back at the studio for making today's show awesome. You can always watch clips of Sunday Morning Football on YouTube, so check it out there. Enjoy your day of football. I will see you on the DA show tomorrow morning from New York City, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. See you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.